I'm so glad you're here today. What a great day. If you're a guest, thank you for coming to be with us. We're glad you're part of Life CC today. And we are in a new series starting today called Core. And what we want to do is to help you live out your purpose, which is really at the core of what God has for you. And so we're just going to teach you and work you to living out the core of your life, your purpose. And so if you'll hang with us for several weeks, you're going to walk out of here with brand new purpose and loving what God has for you. Last week, we were at UNCW, and we had a great day. It was amazing. A couple of you can clap for that. But it was awesome. What a great day. But at the event last week, I told you I was going to give you an update on our building and our property and where we were with that process. And so I want to give you what we call our Heart for the House update. And so you can see on the screen that real pretty looking building there. That's what we gave you about 3 years ago as a conceptual drawing for what we want to move into. Now, what we did about 3 years ago is we purchased property. And you'll see on the screen, we purchased 17 acres of land for our future church building. And it was $699,000. And then for the next couple years, we went to work, everyone did their part, and we paid this thing off. Look at this, paid in full. I like that. You guys are amazing. We paid off that property. We have deed in hand. It's an amazing location. It's just on the other side of Point 14 Theaters, right on this side of the new River Lights development. So God has just given us an amazing place for our future. I'm really excited about the future with that. So when we paid it off, though, we knew there was a couple more steps for us before we actually broke ground. And so today I want to give you this next phase of what we need to do before we can break ground. And so you'll see on the screen that we need to have a design and bid process. And we have a fundraising goal of $300,000. Now, I don't know about you, but $300,000 seems like a lot of money. Does that seem like a lot of money to you? It is a lot of money. Like, wow, like we have to raise $300,000, and yes, we do. And because it's so much, I thought it'd be important for me to share with you what we get for that. Because it's important for us to be able to have buy-in for this, and I want transparency as a leader. So I want you to know what this next phase is. And so let me share with you all that comes with this next phase. So we're going to raise $300,000. When we do, we'll have our final design drawings and presentation materials to match our current and future needs. Now, what you saw on the screen a minute ago was a conceptual drawing. That doesn't have anything to do with the exact spaces of the room. It doesn't have the, like, how thick does the door need to be for a fire-protected door. It doesn't go into any of that. It's just a great way for us to get a big picture of what God wants to do through us. So at this phase is where we design every detail of the building. And so final drawings, presentation materials to match our current and future needs. And let me just say that it's important that I throw in our current and future needs here because some of our needs have changed a little bit since we came into this facility. And one of the things that we have found out is that you all have a lot of babies. And so our kids department has exploded. And so when we build this new building, we're going to have to bump out the walls a little bit for all the babies in the house. And so good job, moms and dads. There's so many times I love to get in trouble. Right there is one of those moments. I'm learning with wisdom just to back out of that a little bit. But so moms and dads, you're helping us have to do a little redesign, and that's awesome. Then we'll have a topographic study, a tree survey, wetlands delineation, city approvals for final site and building plans, and all the elevations have to be approved by the city. For this $300,000, we'll have all construction documents, approval, and ensuring we conform to all current state and local codes, all architectural, civil, landscape, structural, mechanical, plumbing, and electrical drawings done. There'll be an energy calculation and spec for HVAC, which is your heating and ventilation system, your AC system. Because I don't know if you've noticed in here, it's either too cold or too hot, one or the other. We haven't found the exact spot. Well, they're going to find out before we build our building exactly how to make it be the exact spot. So that'll be great. But so we have to do that. I like this next one, though. They said they have to do a traffic impact study. I like the way they see us. They're like, you all are going to grow so much, and you're going to make so many people come to that area. We have to do a study and turn it into the city for them. So that's good news. Then we'll have a bidding process where we identify the contractors, and then the architect will be with us for on-site construction review with the contractors during the building project. And so we took a couple months ago, some time, and we got offers and presentations from three different contractors to present to us what it takes to get to where we can get to the building project. And what we need to do is to be able to find out exactly what it's going to cost so that we can take it to bid. And so then once we get it to bid, we find out the exact what they say, then we can go to the banks to get the loans, and then we can move forward. And so we have to raise $300,000 so we can get to this process, and so we can determine how to get to the banks, and then we can get our loan, and then we can start clearing land, and then we can start building a building, and then one day we'll meet in this beautiful auditorium that the temperature is going to be just right, and people are going to come so much that they're going to say the traffic study just didn't anticipate how good God was, and so many people kept coming, and we'll have to add lanes, and it's going to be great. Amen, church? Amen. So, $300,000. When I was kind of processing this in my head, I was thinking, man, I didn't know when I became a pastor that I had to be a fundraiser. I thought I just had to learn the Bible and like be really kind to people and preach. But somewhere along the way, you have to learn how to cast vision and give people like an idea of where we're going, and then you have to help fund it. And so my job today is to encourage you, inspire you to help fund this project. We need $300,000 to get it done. And so I'm just inviting you to pray about that and say, God, what can I do as my part to help us as a church reach $300,000 so we can take our next step? And I was just thinking that, you know, that could be 300 families, $1,000, done. Like we could be there next week. It could be one person, hey, $1 million, and they have something in their heart and they want to do, done. Then we would like, wow, that's great. And, you know, like those things happen though. Like that's a seed I'm planting. Some of you may not have $1 million now, but I'm praying God raises you up to have $1 million that you can sow into the kingdom. Yeah. Amen? Like I don't have to have everybody from Wall Street come here. I pray that God, you know, brings Wall Street in your heart and you become a millionaire, then God can bless you and send money through you for our building. Amen to that? So anybody want any of that? Raise your hand. All right, so just checking. But listen, all I'm asking for you to do is to pray and say, God, how can I add to this project? And so if you want to give, you can go to our website. You can go to the give button. There's a place on the drop-down menu on the give that says Heart for the House, and you can make a gift there. You can go to our app. You can make a gift. You can give as a check, write Heart for the House on there, and that'll go to this building fund, and we'll raise the $300,000. And possibly it takes us a little time because everybody jumps in and we chip away at it. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't wait to see how it happens, but when it does, we'll all celebrate that as well, and then we'll hopefully start clearing property and moving to the next step. So I wanted to let you know about that. That's Heart for the House. We'll keep you updated throughout the year and believing that God's going to do something great. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. So let me pray, and then we're going to jump into a few more good things for us. Father, thanks for this day. Lord, I just thank you that you have blessed this house with this seed in our heart for what you can do through us in a building. God, it's just a building. But what we know is all that you will do in a building for so many people. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would give us the grace to raise the funds we need and that we'd be able to accomplish all that you want through us, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for the message today that you would use it to strengthen our life and build us up. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say amen. 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 How many were with me last Sunday at church at UNCW? Raise your hand if you were there. All right, that means several of you were not able to be there, and so I want to give you a little update on what you missed last week. And the first thing I want to tell you missed is I told the best joke of my life last week, And so you missed it. Now, I'm not repeating that. That's just one of those things, you had to be there. But I want to give you a little bit of vision recap to help everyone be on the same page. Now, some of you heard this last week and you're like, I have to listen to this again, and I'm going to be like, yeah, it's okay. You'll be fine. You probably didn't catch it all. You'll catch a few more pieces of it. But sometimes we just do things for those that couldn't be here. So this is us helping those that couldn't be with us last week. So I want to give you a little vision recap of where we were. And the first thing I told everybody last week is we are building people, not a steeple. And that's important for you to know, because I just gave this ginormous, you know, vision goal for us to raise money for a building. But it's not about a building. The Bible never said to go therefore and build pretty buildings. It says go therefore and make disciples. And so we want to build people. And that's why our vision has always been similar to this. But Life Community Church is helping you. That's people. Helping you find life in Jesus. We're all about you. We're all about people. We're all about life. And we're all about Jesus. And we want to help people find life in Jesus. And so with that, I was thinking, though, like, how do we help people actually find life? How do we know if we're being successful? How do we go, hey, you have found life? And so we came up with five purposes. And as you walk out these five purposes, then you'll be living out life that we believe that God has for you. And so I want to share these five purposes with you. And the first one is evangelism. And so we believe that when you meet Jesus, you begin your relationship with Jesus is the first step to you finding life. And so we want to help every person we can find life through Jesus Christ, and that's evangelism. The second step, and if you'll notice, we put these in steps so you can walk and grow in them. The second step is worship. When you meet Jesus, the next thing you need to do is learn to worship. Worship God. He's worthy of our worship. And by the way, how great was worship experience this morning. We get to worship Jesus in the house. So good. Come on, give that a clap. Like, ooh, amazing. Sunday is an important day of the week for all believers, because on Sunday we come, we worship. But even when I'm teaching, it's part of worship, because you're putting your focus, you're putting your attention, making Jesus center of your life, and we want to help you do that. When we had communion this morning, you go to the tables and you think about Jesus and you're making him the center of your life. All of that is about worship and worshiping him. And so we want to help you worship. That's the second part of purpose. Every person needs to worship. The third is grow, and we want to help you grow in your faith and become a better person. And so that's the next place for you. You've met Jesus, you're worshiping, and now you need to start growing. You want to go from childlike faith to a very mature faith. You're going to go through things in life that are going to challenge you, and you're going to need to know how to access what God has inside of you so you can live this out victorious. And so we want to help you to grow. We want to help you become a better person. Did you know that when you read your word, it will teach you how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better employee, a better business owner? When you grow in God, you become better. Amen? So the fourth purpose for every person is community. We need each other. You need me, I need you. You need the people around you. You need people in a small group. You need to be part of a community. And we want to help you get connected in a community where you can have believers that will encourage you when you're down and celebrate you when you're up. We need those kind of friends in our life. Amen? And then the fifth is purpose. And this is how we help you discover why you're here. Like, why are you still here on earth? You have a purpose, and God wants you to live out your purpose. And so we want to help you discover your purpose at Life CC. We want to help you live the life that God has for you. And so now, with that, I began to think, well, how do I get people through a process? If we have these steps, evangelism to purpose, how do I know that they're making progress? How do I know that each of you knows what to do next? And how do I grow? How do I reach what God has for me in my life? And so we came up with a bullseye, and I want to show you the bullseye. So it starts at city and works its way to the core. I want to explain this to just a moment, because it's important that you understand that each of these circles represents a level of commitment that we're asking each of us to take. Let me explain it. The city. Outer circle. In our city, there's probably like 200,000 people that are lost or are unchurched. These are people we need to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. The city is where we would say we need to do our evangelism. This is where we help people find out about Jesus. And so we want to evangelize the people in the city. My hope is that when people hear about our church, hear about Jesus, they take the next step and they move to the next ring, which is in the congregation. Where's the congregation? Well, you're sitting in it. You're doing it. Good job. You're level two. You know, celebrate you. Pat yourself on the back. You didn't know it. You made it. You did a good job. But what we want to do is to build a congregation, a group of people that gather on Sunday. What do we gather on Sunday? We worship, which is the second step, the second value we want for people. The next, after you begin to worship in a congregation, we will help you make a commitment to grow in your walk with God. And so what we're doing is we just have this bullseye, and we're trying to help people know how to take their next step, and how do I get to the next step, which is I'm connected in a community. We want you to be connected. We want you to know people. We want people to be there for you when you have needs and when you can celebrate and when you're just hanging out, you need Christian friends. We want you to be part of a connected group in a community. And then last is a core. And this is where you are the core of our church. You're the most committed group that's here. You're the ones that are faithful. I call them pillars in the house of God. These are people that know us and we know you, and you're living out your purpose and you're doing ministry in our church. I think of someone like this morning. Shantae was up here, and oh, she crushed that song today. Did she not? Was that not beautiful? Oh my gosh. But listen, that young lady has been in this church for how many years? 10 years maybe. And she has been in, you know, youth ministries with us, and now God has just continued to elevate her in all that she does. And now she's like a pillar in this house. And man, her heart is beautiful. And I love to see people living out their purpose. She's excelling in her purpose. And it just shows up here on Sunday. I want that for all of us, to find our purpose and what God wants to do through us. And so that's why we want to help people get to the core through the process. And so here are the steps for you to get there. If you want to take the next steps, the first is our purpose. And that's at the bottom, working our way up. First is our evangelism, where we reach our city. We do that through bridge events. When we did the egg extravaganza, who remembers the egg extravaganza? Wave your hand if you remember it. A couple of you, it was awesome. It's where we had pony rides. You remember the pony rides? Surely you remember the pony rides. I rode a pony. It was great. I love pony rides, and so it was awesome. But people will come to a free pony ride. And so you have these bridge events where people can come and get to know the church a little bit, and then they'll take the next step and come into the congregation. And so that's the next step. We want for people to come and hang out here with us. And when you come here, we have a class called New to Life CC Class 1. And at this class, we'll tell you about our church, and we'll tell you why worship is so important to your life. And then we have a commitment card for you to fill out at that meeting. And you'll say, hey, I'm committed to being part of this congregation. And that's how we're going to know you have moved from the city to the congregation. Then we have Grow Class. You can take the next class. At this class, you're going to learn about how to have great spiritual habits and how to read your Bible. We're going to give you resources for personal devotions. We're going to talk to you about generosity. And so it's going to be a great time about helping you learn how to grow in your walk with God. And so when you come, though, at the end of that, we've got another commitment card. You're going to fill it out and say, I'm committed to growing in God. And that's how we're going to know you've moved to the next circle. You're in the next ring where it's committed. Then you're going to be invited to go sign up for a community group, small group, or a serve team. And so you can go sign up right out in the lobby, and you can find your church family. You can be a part of something relationally. And so that would be your next step. And then last, purpose, which is the core. This is the people in our church who are living out their purpose right here, helping build the church through their gifts and talents. We want to take you through a class to help you discover how God has shaped you and the spiritual gifts, and find out the experiences you've had in your past and how God wants to use those in the future. We want to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and get you ready to live out your purpose at Life CC. And so we'll invite you to that class. And that's when you're going to get to the core, and we're going to celebrate with you. We're going to lay hands on you and bless you and believe God's got so much in store for you as you help build the church together. So that's the steps coming up. You can go online. You can sign up for these classes. You can start now signing up, and they launch this September. Amen, church. Amen. A lot of information. I know. And now I have a sermon. I feel like I need to pray again. But you got it, right? You're good. You prayed up. You're good. I'm going to take us to our sermon series, Core. Because my job over the next several weeks is help move you from city to the core. Now, some of you are like, do I need to take all these classes? Sure, you need to take all the classes. I've been to classes. Take more classes with us. Go through it again. Why? Because I don't know if you're where you are in the process. And so everybody gets moved to the city. We'll move you to the core. Also, if you've been through all the classes, I want you to sit with new people because it's important that you help others take the steps. So everybody can take the classes. Today, I want to help you get to the core. And I want to start with the outer ring, which was where we talk about the city. And our first purpose for every person is evangelism. And evangelism is how we help you begin a relationship with Jesus. It's also how you help others find their life in Jesus. It's what we receive and how we help others, and that's your mission. Evangelism is helping people begin a relationship with Jesus. You were made for a mission. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 5, it says, you should be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, which is not fun, but through God you can endure. But then it says, do the work of an evangelist. Now, some of you are like thinking, well, I didn't know I was an evangelist. Well, all of us have a responsibility of sharing the good news with other people. All of us have the work of helping other people begin a relationship with Jesus, and we should all participate in that. Because we are all to do the work of it. That doesn't mean you are an evangelist. You just do the work of it. And so we want to help all of us live out our mission and do the work of an evangelist. And so I want to take us to the book of Acts for just a few minutes and read some scripture to you. Because I like the book of Acts, and it's all about mission. And you were made for mission. And so this, you could listen, I could probably say, hey, you want to know about mission, just read the book of Acts. But I want to take you to one section of scriptures in chapter 17, and we're going to read about it. Now, I like the book of Acts. Just to give you some context, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. So Acts is the next book after Mark, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give their view, their what they saw in Jesus when he was born, when he lived, when he died, and when he's resurrected. And they gave the account of his story. And then Jesus gave them the Great Commission. Tell them to go, therefore, and he gave a mission, go make disciples. Acts is about what they did next. Acts is the next book. It's the sequel to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's about how the Bible teaches us that we should take the mission forward. One thing I like about the book of Acts is it's been said that it's the only book that's not finished yet. And the reason it's not finished yet is we are still to carry out the good news of the gospel, and the apostles and the believers are still to be on mission reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so there are still more stories to be told. We just won't get them in the book of Acts. We'll tell them later. Amen. So let me take you to book of Acts chapter 17. Verse 18 through 34, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he's on one of his missionary journeys, and he's spreading the good news, and he comes to this group of people, and it says he, this is Paul, had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. He told them about Jesus and his resurrection. And some said, hey, come tell us more about this new teaching. So Paul began a debate with them, or maybe this is his way of convincing them about Jesus. And so he says, men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For I was walking along and I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. So Paul had gone into Athens, and he began to see these shrines that were there. They're like little mini temples and idols that were there. And they had a shrine to everything. In this part of history in Athens, they were trying to figure out all the meaning of life. And they were trying to figure out who to worship. And so they just made a shrine to everything. They had an idol for the sun. They had an idol for the moon. They had an idol for the cows. They had an idol for everything. They were just seeking. But one of these shrines had this inscription over it, and it just said, to an unknown God. And Paul saw that, and he thought, hey, they're hungry. They're still open for something in their life. And so he began to say, hey, that unknown God, that gap that you're looking for, he's like, I have the answer. And I was thinking, our culture today isn't extremely different than that. There are people out there today who are still looking for the meaning of life. They're looking for, how do I understand what I'm here for? And so inside there's this gap there's this place inside of them going, I'm looking for my unknown God. And listen, we have the answer just like Paul does. And so Paul says to them in verse 24, this is how he begins to describe God. He says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. So they made these shrines because they're trying to find something to worship. And so Paul says to them, listen, you made these temples with your own hands, but you need to know that God is greater than anything you can make. He's greater than any achievement in your life. And so he begins to talk about this, and he says, he himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. Listen, humanity, we have had many great achievements. Like, we've done stuff. Like, we've made stuff with our hands. Like, humanity has created some of the most amazing things. Like, you ever ride on an airplane, fly on an airplane? Like, that kind of trips me out just a little bit when I'm 30,000 feet above the ground, and I'm like, I understand gravity. Like, somebody invented that. Like, wow, that's an achievement. I look at PlayStation 4. I'm like, what in the world? Who could create that? A whole world on TV, and you get to shoot stuff. Amazing. Man, the skyscrapers in New York City, all these achievements that humanity has had, but none of them satisfy. None of them fulfill this longing inside of our heart. And Paul identified it as this unknown God. Listen, there are people out there that are trying to achieve and to find satisfaction in their life, and the only place they'll find it is in the one who made everything. And we find it through Jesus Christ, and he satisfies every need in our life. Paul says his purpose, so this is God's purpose, and he's convincing them of this truth. And he says, God's purpose was for the nations to seek after God, and he's not far from any one of us. God's purpose was for the nations to seek after God. The nation of America, he wants us seeking after God. He wants North Korea seeking after God. But I like how Paul wrote this. He said his purpose was for nations to seek after God. And then he says, and by the way, guys, he's not that far from us. You know what he was saying? If you'll seek him, he's easy to find. If you'll just turn to him, he'll make himself evident to you. He's easy. Like, you know, as a parent, when you have little kids, and this is, like, you want them to, like, play a game with you, and as a little kid, you play hide and seek. And so, you know, when they're little kids, you want them to find you. Like, you know, you don't want to make it hard. You don't make it hard on your kids until you start playing PlayStation 4 with them, then you beat them all the time. But when they're little, you want them to find you. And so you say, hey, let's play hide and seek. And so what you do is you go hide, you get behind the couch, but you let your leg hang out a little bit so that your kids can go along and they go, oh, there's daddy. Listen, God, he is great at everything except hide and seek. He wants you to find him. And our job is to find our friends and say, I know the Father and where he's hiding. Let me point you to him. His leg's hanging out behind the couch. You know how you do it? You bring him to church. They feel the presence of God in worship. Like, they don't have to look hard. He's right here. That's what Paul said. He's not far from us. And then Paul made this statement. He said, for in him, so this is in Christ, in him we live and move and exist. Every ounce of your being is transformed by Jesus Christ. Everything in your life, in him we live, in him we find salvation, in him we move. You know, God wants to be a part of everything you do in life. As you move about life, as you go from home to work to school, everything you do, God wants to be a part of that. He transforms your life through Christ. Because of Christ, he's with you when you move. You don't go to work alone. You're never alone. Oh my gosh. He loves you. He cares for you. He walks with you. Some of you are here today and you're like, I haven't seen or heard from God. Listen, it's not because he's hiding. You just haven't reached out lately. He's here for you today. In him we live, move, and exist. Then Paul says, now. Everybody say now. So Paul's teaching them. And he just tells in Christ, in him we live and move and exist. And then he says, now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to God. So Paul's now changing the conversation. He's like, hey, this great God, Jesus who saves, now is the time. Now is your moment to repent of your sins and turn to God. And then he says, and this is probably a verse that we don't preach very often, and because it's kind of a little rough when you hear it, but for he has set a day for judging the world with justice. What that means is there is a finish line. There is a time when God says, those who have believed in me, you are entered into your rest into heaven, and those who have not believed me will not go to heaven. And he kind of lays it on the line. He says, there's just a day. Listen, that ought to bother believers, that there's a moment. Verse 32, Paul says, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed. Did you know some are not going to accept the message? Do you know some are going to reject you as they reject God? But that's okay, because what it says is that some laughed, but others said, we want more. And Paul ended the discussion with them, and some joined him and became believers. I just want to remind you of this, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Love is great, but he draws us to the Father to make a decision. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And our job is to help people find life. But let me just take a moment for those who are here today that maybe are thinking like, do I have this life? And I want to make it real simple for you. I like to keep things real simple. If you ever are new here and you're like, is he going to be real deep? And no, I'm going to keep things really simple for you. A, B, C, D, all right? Here's A. Admit I need a Savior. Like if you've never met Jesus, all you have to do is, I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. Listen, you might create a skyscraper, but you can't satisfy what's inside of you. That only comes from Jesus. Admit I need a Savior. Believe Jesus died for me. He died for your sins. Believe it. C, commit myself completely to Jesus. And then D, depend on God daily. That's how you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's one more letter. I just want to kind of close this out with this letter, and that's E. Because after you have received Christ, evangelism, A, B, C, E. E is your next place. This is where we tell others. This is where we're a little bothered about that day of judgment. And we want to tell people about Christ. We want to help others begin a relationship with Jesus. Once you begin a relationship with Jesus, write this down. God expects me to bring others to Christ. And so I want to encourage you today, as part of our purpose statement, is to help others begin a relationship with Jesus. How are you going to do that? Let me give you a couple quick ways. One, invite your family to church. Two, invite your coworkers and your school friends to church. Three, invite people from the coffee shop, from the gym, from the grocery store, all over town, wherever you are, people are. Start inviting people. And four, sign up to serve at Summer Jam. This is a great plug for Summer Jam. And some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know what Summer Jam is. And I thought that was a kids ministry and I don't want to be in kids ministry. So let me tell you what Summer Jam is. It's going to be a great jam for our kids this summer. All my jokes are not as good as last week. I get it. Hey, this is a bridge event where we are going to connect with a ton of kids and their parents. And so it's an event where we invite kids into like an amazing VBS program, only it's on steroids, and it's going to be the greatest event of these kids' life. But we also are going to have some things for the parents, a class or two for the parents to learn how to be a better parent. Maybe we'll talk to them about how to, you know, raise your kids in a social media generation. And so we're going to connect with parents because we want to bridge our church to people through this event. And so what we need is for you to sign up to be a part of evangelism and reaching people. And so today after church, you can go to the sign up booth right out there, and we should have 300 people signed up from this service. Awesome. Hey, I got a quick video I want to show you about Summer Jam. You want your kid here, but we want our city to come be a part of that. And so we invite you to sign up to be part of the first purpose of your life, which is evangelism. And one of the ways you do it is by serving in Summer Jam. Hey, I want to close with an invitation. I talked a lot about beginning a relationship with Jesus and mentioned that we try to satisfy our life in ways that we do our best. Maybe you've been successful in your career. Maybe you've got a very successful marriage. Maybe it's something else. But we're always trying to find the way on our own to satisfy something inside of us that gives us like peace there. And nothing will satisfy you. You could be the architect that designed the greatest war memorial in New York City or Washington, D.C. You can have achievement, but nothing will satisfy you until you meet Jesus Christ. And so today I want to invite you to meet Him. Would you bow your heads? Father, if there are people here that have never met Jesus, would you use this moment that they begin a relationship with you? Lord, that they would admit they need a Savior, but believe on Jesus. They would commit their ways and depend on Him. Let's pray this out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I admit I need a Savior, and I believe in Jesus to be my Savior, and I commit my life to Him. I pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen, church. I love you, church. God bless.